On today's Compassion Radio.
Imagine a Walmart in 700 square foot, trafficking people. It is anything you'd ever imagine. There was clothing, there was furniture, there was food, there was whatever. And there was a restaurant in the back that a significant number of people ate at. And that was where the fire started. And that's such an area of community. For me, I just look at that thinking, oh my goodness, that needs to be present in this community. It's such a central meeting location for so many.
When Jesus walked the earth preaching the gospel, living the gospel, and demonstrating the gospel, he called the people who responded his kingdom. Today, we more commonly refer to that kingdom as the church, or the community of faith. To put it simply, community means to hold certain things in common. For the kingdom of God, the only single, unchangeable, unshakable thing we hold in common is Christ himself. There could not be a more diverse group of humanity than the church, yet these days, a lie has been creeping back in that needs to be addressed. I'm proud to welcome back a good friend who lives and breathes the kingdom on a daily basis, and is transforming his community and the world. I hope you're ready to really listen to what he has to say at such an important moment in our national history. Thank you, friend, for lending us your ears and hearts for the next 26 minutes. Back with me on Compassion Radio today is Josh Manning, pastor of Community Baptist Church down in Knoll, Missouri. Welcome back, my friend.
Yes, it's good to hear from you.
We talked on last program about the kind of traumas that your church has experienced, and they've been literal ones. I'm not using the term lightly when I say you've been traumatized as a body, as a family, as a town, because of COVID, because of the politics of the time, because of the warring attitude, the spirit of Abaddon, for the lack of a better term, of wanting to rile up and cause dissension and tear apart society, culture, churches, the kingdom of God itself. It's there. We know we're dealing with that in this generation. I want to ask you, Josh, this time around, what are the vices you're seeing rise up around you that God is saying, pay attention to this, because as a pastor, you're going to need to address it from my word, from my spirit. What are the hard things that you're facing right now that you did not expect would be on the map for 2021?
Here's one I'm sure you're not aware of. We have a significantly sized Muslim population in town.
Yes, they are.
And they had a central hub of a mosque and a store in town. It burned down last week.
I didn't hear that.
Tremendous loss for the community. They're investigating. They think it was accidental. It wasn't intentionally set, anything of that sort.
Oh, thank God for that.
But still, you're dealing with tremendous loss in a community that you desperately want to reach with the gospel.
Yes.
You have challenges like that. Several people became homeless as a result of that fire. You have political turmoil. You're coming from an extremely conservative area of the world. How do people view the difficulties happening in Washington and how their views are of elections, things of that sort? You also compound that with the refugee population that may not necessarily be able to vote. We're going to have very strong differing opinions on how the election went and how it should have gone. And so you're talking about a time in our nation that is dealing with a lot of trauma and turmoil. It seems to be uniquely applicable to our unique little area of the world.
You're not a microcosm. You're a macrocosm all compressed into one small town. How then, without diverging too far off the idea of vices yet, I do want to talk about the other problems we face. But right now, what do you feel is the most appropriate thing for your congregation to do to address the loss of the Muslim community and to speak Christ and his compassion into it?
I've struggled. When you start looking at it from a worldly perspective, ultimately, does your faith tell you to love the hurting, to preach the gospel? That may be a good way to synthesize so much of our mission as a church. So our job ultimately is to preach the gospel. How do you love this community? There's going to be barriers for us as a church to do it just because of the barrier of Islam and not necessarily wanting a lot of contact with the church. But you look for unique ways that members of your community can love and support people that's endured a tremendous loss in your community.
Is that taking any practical form right now?
Honestly, and probably not in a way I could reveal on radio real well.
Oh, I understand.
I'll tell you the practical way that it's looking. We have some in the community that wanted to help, and that's been the conflict of, do you raise money to rebuild a mosque?
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of back and forth of, where does your Christian faith go towards? You want to love your neighbors, but it isn't necessarily to support another religion. You know, and so how do you do that practically?
Yeah, I get that. And it certainly is something that we would have more of an aversion to in America, because the sanctity of separation of not just church from state, but church from church, giving people the latitude to preach it their way in their space, we want to preserve. We don't often want them to intermingle with us. We have a kind of a segregationist idea towards our own ideas.
Yeah.
You know, I was hearing at the end of ISIS occupation in Mosul, one of the weird things that I had not considered was that the Christians felt compelled to help rebuild the mosques first, because they felt that they had been there longer, all the way back to the time of Jesus. So they felt compelled to serve their newcomers into their community first. That was the way they could express Christ to the nth degree. And they did that. They actually started rebuilding mosques, helping people get back to a place where they could worship and become basically a grief center where they could pour out someplace they felt safe, the horrible traumas they had been through by being oppressed by ISIS. Later, the people from those mosques got together not just to help rebuild the churches, but to help put up playgrounds and places for the children of both communities to be together for the very first time. And so for them, the mission they were called to was something that was not just strange, but foreign to me in my thinking, but it was absolutely what God had for them. So I do believe that there is no template or universal way we have to deal with things like interreligious conflict or potential conflict, but there are specific ways that God always has for us to operate within the context of the people we are. And so I am very excited, Josh, to see how that will evolve for you and your community as your community, the Community Baptist Church there in Knoll, finds their mission to serve others and to build back a sense of love and safety so that those who would have had every reason to fear Christians and Christianity no longer do. That's my hope and prayer.
Yes, and I just hope we have a good route to do this in terms of loving the community and at the same time realizing I have extremely young believers.
Yeah.
And teaching them, this is the true way, this isn't. So how do we love them in a manner that Christ would love them? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And so how do you do that effectively? At this point, financially, the mosque is being rebuilt. The African store is where I think maybe more of the focus of the church would be. And I've heard very little about that rebuilding yet, but that was a primary hub of the entire community meeting in that store. I view that as a vital part of the community that needs to be rebuilt.
You're talking about a mercantile, right? A place where they would actually get ethnic foods and products and things that would be familiar to them.
Oh, yeah.
That they miss, that they want to have as part of their community.
Imagine a Walmart in 700 square foot for African people. It is anything you'd ever imagine. There was clothing, there was furniture, there was food, there was whatever. And there was a restaurant in the back that a significant number of people ate at. And that was where the fire started. And that's such an area of community. For me, I just look at that thinking, oh my goodness, that needs to be present in this community. It's such a central meeting location for so many.
I remember when I was like in my 20s and living in Southeast Asia, how silly it might seem now, but what joy it was for me from time to time to say, you know what? I'm going to go to Denny's and order a taco salad and read an American newspaper. So to step into that little bubble inside a culture that I deeply adored and loved the food and cultures I was seeing around me all the time, just to step out and be part of who I was before I got to Southeast Asia and just spend a couple hours eating American food.
Oh, yeah.
Was a joy for me. I don't like that particular brand of food that much here, but over there it was like, wow, this is awesome. I get to sit back into this thing, and I'm sure for the people in your community, something as simple as the table and the smell of food that you grew up with and the chatter around you and languages you recognize is something that brings deep comfort in a situation where you are tens of thousands of miles away from where you grew up.
Exactly. And these folks thrived with that sense of community.
Mm.
And I just view it as such a painful loss. So what will happen practically is the owner, I believe, is in Minnesota right now. When they make their way back this way, I hope they choose to rebuild or relocate or something, and hope that aspect of the community continues.
I pray that you guys will be brave in your compassion for your neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and that if God asks you to do something that seems outrageous on the face of it, that you will not shy away from it just because it seems outrageous, but that you'll step into it because God said to.
Well, we do lots of things that seem crazy.
Imagine so. Okay, if I could cycle back around again to my first question.
Okay.
What are the vices, the things that are like acid on the church that, if we're not careful, could run away with this, could tear us away from compassionate action? What are the things that are being allowed to flourish in this country that might be attacking your congregations now that you are being wary of and trying to bring attention to for your brothers and sisters?
So much of the struggle I've always preached against it has been nationalism.
Mm.
It is such a predominant thing here to view your Christian walk as being synonymous with your patriotism, and please don't mistake me. I'm a very patriotic United States citizen.
Let me speak to that real quickly, Josh, because I want to make sure that I give you cover on this too, okay? What Josh is saying is not to be anti-American or not love your country. We are talking about America that we love and honor and venerate, the values that we were taught, and the law, and the sense of law being central to our identity. What Josh is talking about is not to worship and abstract a certain kind of heritage perspective above and beyond our calling to follow Christ first. That's all he's saying.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And realize I've campaigned in one local offices here. I'm very proud of my nation, my country, but also understand that my ultimate allegiance isn't to the United States. It's ultimately to Christ. And where we can get in danger sometimes is to forego preaching the gospel in places that don't look like us. And that's where our challenge lies in. No, we're proud United States citizens, but we can't hold that above our ultimate allegiance, which is to our king. We aren't part of a nation, we're part of a kingdom.
Yeah. You know, I've been cornered a number of times just because I'm in radio, and you might have been too because you spent time on the air in that part of the country. I get queried, are you conservative? Are you liberal? Are you Democrat? Are you Republican? What are you? I want to know because that will define how I understand what you're telling me. My response is not a cop-out. It's my core belief. I am not a conservative or a liberal. I am not a Democrat or Republican. I am a royalist, and my commitment is to my king. Friends, before we jump back to this important conversation, a quick reminder that it's your generosity and support that make Compassion Radio possible. Especially in a year like this, we need your vote of support. Call 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or give online at CompassionRadio.com in order to keep this program coming to you each day. And hear me when I say this, we are very thankful for you. Especially now. And now, back to the interview. What are you? I want to know because that will define how I understand what you're telling me. My response is not a cop-out. It's my core belief. I am not a conservative or a liberal. I am not a Democrat or Republican. I am a royalist. And my commitment is to my king. And if my king says, to follow me requires you to act in a certain way that some from one camp will see as against their agenda, you follow me anyway. And that is a freedom, but it's also a burden at times because I've got to stand by what God has called me to do or say or speak on or teach from and not back down from that as truth, but also understand that people will either misunderstand what I'm trying to say at times, or they will understand very clearly and oppose it. Those are the consequences for speaking the truth from the word and being willing to stand by it and take the lumps for it.
Yes, absolutely. When you have a place that you're able to speak and people hear you, you know, I mean, from a pastor, from radio, from whatever, it's hard to walk that line because, just personally, I'm a very conservative person in how I view the world. And yet, I have to realize there are other brothers and sisters that aren't going to look at the world the same way I do. Mm-hmm. My job isn't to push a political agenda. My job is to push the kingdom of God, and that's where my allegiance lies. So how do you make sure that it's not politics that's being pushed front and center, but it's pursuit of Christ that's pushed front and center in all that I do?
A lot of prayer, for sure.
It's been a challenging in this area of the world to make sure that that is how I'm phrasing things and how I'm pursuing things well.
Are there other attacks on the discipleship that follows Jesus and chases after his coattails? Are there things that are drawing you away or are threats to your congregation now?
So much of our challenge is the very youngness of my congregation. And I mean just young as being young babes in Christ.
Right.
We're talking adults, but we're talking people that have had a history and a lifestyle that has been one direction, and now they have chosen a lifestyle that's going to be glorifying to God.
Yeah.
But they're still dealing with the background and the effect of their previous lifestyle.
The old patterns.
Just because, you know, they're forgiven of their sins by Christ doesn't mean, you know, the marshal's office has, you know what I'm saying? And so how do you navigate as a brand new believer trying very hard to make good decisions and yet still struggling with those old histories and so on? That has been a big challenge for us. And our biggest challenge has been just the lack of mature believers. We still pray for gray hair in our church.
Amen.
We look for those mature believers, people that's walked with Christ for years, to be a model and example of what it means to be a follower of Christ.
We're praying you have enough hairs left on your head by that time to grow gray.
Oh, goodness gracious, it's depressing how few's left, yeah.
And then you don't end up pulling it all out on the way to that stage of life. You've had your own challenges just going day to day and seeing yourself through the challenges that have come your way. Every time I get to step through your town, Josh, and see what's become since I was there last, there's been some new tragedy, like a tornado tore through right before I was there last time, or politics rearing up its ugly head in such a way that puts your community on edge because they feel threatened, or like the pandemic has been raging through the past year. There's always been something, some new challenge. And you have given testimony, like you said in the previous program, that every challenge that God brings you is to drive you to the throne of grace, foot of the cross, the bema seat of Christ, all these metaphors we use to being right there with Jesus and facing him. And I'm so glad that in the midst of all those struggles, he keeps driving you that direction, and you keep listening and saying yes to that. When others might rear up in pride and say, forget this, this is too hard, I'm not going there, I won't do this kind of work anymore. Thank you for being faithful in that. Give me a word, if you can, Josh, before we close off today's program, about your challenge to America. We see the uproar. We see the lies that have led to violence happen around us. We also have seen other people drawn along saying, I don't believe those particular conspiracy theories, but I still believe that we would be better off if this person was in office rather than that one. So I really can't say that what happened in Washington is all that bad. In the face of what we saw in Washington, it's not the only thing that's on our hearts and minds, although it's an indication of the condition of the heart of individuals and of America at large. What would you say to believers out there that are trying to be watchful and discerning about the big things that are happening in our nation? Speak to the spiritual battle, my friend.
What we have to know is, as Christians, we have the most extraordinary glimpse in the future that could possibly be. We know the end of the book. We know what happens. Christ returns in glory.
Amen. And if we read it, we know it.
And every aspect that's going to happen from now until that point, God has already sovereignly designed. The creed is already in place. There's nothing outside of the will of God, because I believe an omnipotent God.
Amen.
So during this time from here until when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom and the reality and fruition of it, what is our role? We have the role of preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And so in that time, our focus is not concern or fear over the events that's going to happen around us. And events will happen around us. COVID will hit, election turmoil will hit, the next thing around the corner will hit. But our mission doesn't change. Preach the gospel, preach it to people who've never heard it, and preach and expand this kingdom.
Amen.
And even in the midst of whatever else difficult is happening, keep preaching Christ.
You and I both know that even in the midst of turmoil, there is something about the joy which invigorates us. And that God brings a peace which cannot be explained in the circumstances, because our peace did not come from the circumstances. And I'm praying that for your congregation more than ever, Josh, that God's peace would prevail in your hearts so that the community looks at you and says, I want that. In the midst of all this stuff, they seem to be responding differently than is reasonable. They should be as mad and anxious as we are, yet they're not. What is it about them that makes them that way? That's what I continue to pray for your church and for our friends around Compassion Radio in this country, that you would hear that message and say, I want that now too. God, please, would you give it to me?
Absolutely. And as it says in Scripture, the identifying feature of a Christian is love for one another, as it says in John.
Yeah. All right, Josh, thanks so much for the time you spent with us, and we will look forward to hearing more from you in the days to come. I want to find out how it all played out for you and how God's building his kingdom, how many more baptisms happen, stuff like that. Thanks again for being with us on Compassion Radio.
All right, I appreciate you. We're going to keep plugging along.
Amen. There's no doubt that trying times bring out the best and the worst in mankind. I pray that God will bring out the very best of Him in you today. Thank you for standing with Compassion Radio in times like this. I think you know that we're a unique voice in Christian radio. Your generosity and your faith in us make it possible for us to continue doing what we do each and every day. A quick note on the challenge facing us in 2021. As you probably know, the period at the beginning of each year, right after the Christmas and year-end giving rush, is always the toughest stretch for any nonprofit organization. That includes your church. While we received a year-end bump in giving, it wasn't large enough for us to coast our way into the new year by any stretch. Our radio stations, networks, and ministry partners around the world are counting on us to continue what we do so that they can do what they do. Quality Christian teaching and programs come to you because you support it. With all this happening in the world right now, Christian radio has never been more needed to bring you the truth, comfort, and challenge that we need to live a gospel-filled life in the world. I humbly ask that you not forget us as we do the work we do for you. If you've never given before, would you consider doing so today? If you have supported Compassion Radio in the past, would you consider making us a part of your regular monthly giving plan? Thank you, friend. We're praying God's peace, provision, and courage over you today. I'd like to encourage you today to call us to let us know that you're standing with us. The toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can mail Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're online 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. Don't wait, friends. Join us online to find out how you can be involved with this unique and timely ministry. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow for the next Compassion Radio.